Just because some are called to ministry and so forth in different areas, it's no different. We all fight the fight of faith, and we continue. We all need to be encouraged. So that's one area where I believe God really helped me to be able to stay through, is to stay faithful to Him. To Him. See, this is the thing. Stay faithful to Him. It's not stay faithful just to believe God for a particular thing that you want in your life. Faithfulness belongs to Him. If there's anything we are to stay faithful to, it's to Him. We must not forget that, because we can get discouraged about a situation. You know, there's some things I was believing God for that I never got, and I'm never going to get it. And somebody said one day, well, yet. Well, I said, no, I'm not going to get it, because even if I did get it today, it wouldn't mean nothing to me. It's no good. I needed it back then, but it never came through. To this day, it never came through. But I let that go, but remained faithful to Him. We have to remain faithful to Him. Faithful to Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Faithful to Him, not the thing that I'm believing for, necessarily, in the natural, but remain faithful to Him. You know, there are times to let go some of the things that we're believing for. There are times. I know this lady who, her marriage fell apart, and she was a Christian. She was believing God. And she confessed the word that her marriage has come back together. And she talked to her children that her marriage was going to come back together. And she hung on to that too long. She did damage to her family, herself and her kids, by hanging on that. I mean, after a while, you know, when he got married, and you should have a clue that things are going to shift. There's some time you just got to let it go. Sometime. Especially when other people are concerned. If you're believing God for your health, believe God till your last breath. If it's your health, things like that, it's concerning you. Somebody else not necessarily involved, it's you. Believe God till your last breath. And if you got to go, go in faith, declaring by His stripes I am healed, no matter what the situation is. Stay faithful to Him. Praise the Lord. We receive from God by faith, not by works of fleshly activities. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now this next statement is very important. Both the grace and the faith, both the grace and the faith is the gift of God. Faith is a gift. It comes to us. Who does it come from? It comes from God. And so we can't declare in any way, shape, or form that because I was good, God came to me. Because of my good works, I have been saved. I can't earn my way to heaven, no way, shape, or form. I can't even believe outside God. It was God that put faith in me to give me the ability to believe that He would wipe away my sin. That's not a natural thing. That's a supernatural thing. God gave me that faith to believe Him. When I was lost and going to hell and didn't know anything about God, what suddenly caused the lights to turn on? It was a gift to God. He gave me that ability. It's not something that I just, oh yeah, one day said, oh yeah, okay, I see it now. No, God moved upon me. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Both the grace and the faith is the gift of God. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ and no longer live I, but Christ lives in me. But in that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, the faith of the Son of God, who has loved me and given Himself for me. Now, that's a little bit different than you'll find in a lot of translations. For instance, the New King James translation would say, I live by faith in the Son of God. But Darby puts a little bit different layer. He says, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Dugway Reams puts it, I live in the faith of the Son of God. And Webster's translation puts, I live by the faith of the Son of God. We live not in our faith, but in God's faith that has been given to us. We live by His faith. I live by faith, the faith of the Son of God. It's His faith in me that causes me to be faithful. It's His faith in me that causes me to be faithful to His body. It's not something that I worked up. It's not something that I learned over the years. It's His faith in me that causes me to walk in a stable fashion before God and man. It's not a work that I have done. It's His faith in us that actually causes these things to take place. That's exciting to me, because if I know I operate by His faith, where can that faith take me? It's His faith. Wow. Praise the Lord. We function in His faith, not by our faith. Hebrews said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, hand of the throne of God. Now notice we are to look to Jesus. Why? Because he's the author, he's the finisher or the completer of our faith. He's also everything in between. The author, the beginning, and the finisher. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. In other words, he's the finisher, he's the developer, he is the one that we get faith from. Praise God. It's his faith that we function and operate in. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed in the wind. So we realize that the things that we ask God for has to be by faith. For it goes on to say in verse 7, and let not that man, in other words, the doubter, suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, this is an interesting scripture. You know, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. I've done that for years. I've asked God for wisdom for years, and I've asked in faith, believing. And sometimes there was some things that come out of me that wasn't wisdom. But that doesn't mean I didn't get wisdom. It might mean I had some things that really didn't fall in that category of wisdom. But when wisdom comes and you begin to function and operate in that in a more efficient fashion, these other things that are not of wisdom have a tendency to leave, have a tendency to be put aside. You don't lean on them. I believe I can do things better today than I did 10 years ago, than I did 5 years ago, than I did last month, because I asked God for wisdom. He's given me wisdom to be able to see things differently. I see things differently today than I did a month ago. There's some things that I believe God is showing us and bringing us into that we're getting a clearer picture. I know in my spirit, I can't even put words to it all the time, but I know in my spirit that God is settling us in a place where he's putting us in a place where he's going to be able to do a greater measure of advancing the kingdom than we have in the past. I just really strongly sense that in my spirit. And I know that we don't always have to understand it, no more than we have to understand everything we pray. That's why we got tongues. We can pray mysteries. We can pray secrets. We can pray about things that we don't understand. It's coming into being, and we know it's coming into being, but we can't always put our finger on it, but we know it's there. How do you know? Well, you receive it by faith. You have this stirring in your spirit that it is happening, so you declare that it is coming by faith. God is moving his church into a greater capacity of operating and functioning in the area of faith. We're going to see it happen, folks. We're going to see God do some awesome things. Now, without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God tells us very clearly that we can't do anything that's going to please him outside of faith. We can't do anything that is going to cause him to look upon us, that he's going to look upon us and smile outside the power that he gives us to do the thing. It has to be done with his resources, not ours, because faith comes from him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, so we have to have that faith that comes from him in order to please him. This is interesting because God says, I want you to walk with clean hands and a pure heart, but he knows we can't do it without him. He knows it's impossible for us to do it without him. But he says, now I want you to walk with clean hands and a pure heart before me, and I'm going to give you the ability to do it. He never lacks to give us the ability to do the things that he wants us to do. It's impossible to please him without faith, so he has given us faith. The exercise of that faith is that we believe that first of all, that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In other words, if I'm seeking God, my faith believes that he's going to reward that seeking. In other words, I'm going to be rewarded. And how did he reward Abraham? In Genesis, it said, the word of the Lord came to Abram saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. That's it. How much bigger a reward could you get? Think about this now. The man who has God and everything else has no more than the man who has only God. The man who has God and everything else has no more than the man who has God only, because God is everything. You can't have more than God. And Abram, God said to Abram, I am your shield and thy exceeding great reward. Hallelujah. We get silly sometimes seeking things more than we seek God. When God has it all, you seek God, it comes, whatever that might be. No wonder Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be fulfilled. Praise the Lord God Almighty. What can we expect when we operate in faith? Mark 9:23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. You know, that's quite a statement. All things are possible to him who believes. But when you couple in the fact, the faith that Jesus is talking about, believing with, comes from God. And with God, all things are possible. So, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. That means everything. I mean, if there was a limit on that, it would mean that we must get our faith someplace else other than God, because God has no limits. So Jesus had to say, if you believe, all things are possible to him who believes, because what we believe with is the faith that comes from God. Praise the Lord. And that faith that we get now from God, you know, God can't give us everything all at once. He can't give us all faith all at once. But he does give us, Jesus said, even a mustard seed can do. Faith the size of mustard seed can do wonderful things. But when we do get faith, that faith can grow, because faith does grow. That's one of the aspects about faith. It does grow. 1 Thessalonians 1:3 says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. So we see there that little phrase that faith grows. Faith can start off small, and it can increase. And it can also decrease as well. But we're looking at the increase side. We want to grow. We want to become strong in faith. Faith grows. The apostles said to Jesus, said, increase our faith. Now, I want you to think about this, because we have to have a little background on this particular scripture here. Before the apostles said this scripture to Jesus, increase our faith, Jesus was talking about forgiving somebody, about someone who was doing something wrong. Jesus, and they asked him, how often should we forgive him? And he said, if he does things something like 77 times 70, and if he repents, forgive him. So he says to forgive these people continually. It is in that context that the apostle says, Lord, you're saying that? You're going to have to increase our faith for us to be able to do that. They're talking about inward stuff here. They're talking about if somebody does something, if somebody rapes my sister, how can I forgive them? How can I possibly forgive them? I can't do it in myself. Jesus is saying, that's right, you can't. But they cry out, Lord, increase our faith so we're able to do this. One translation puts it this way, give us faith, or the Young's literal translation puts it this way, add to us faith. In other words, the apostles are saying, we don't really know what you're talking about here, because we don't see any ability to be able to do that of what you're talking about. You're going to have to help us here. Give us this faith that you're talking about. They're crying out for this. They asked the Lord just for that. You know, people say you can never, and we'll get into this a little bit later, but how faith comes, but you can never ask the Lord for faith because faith comes by hearing. Well, the apostles didn't seem to think so. They asked the Lord for faith. They asked the Lord to increase our faith, increase what we had and so forth. Now, Jesus gives them some instruction concerning that, and he told them, you know, even if you have small little bit of faith. And I think what Jesus was really getting at was, you have faith. It may be just the size of a mustard seed, but if you'll act on it, something will happen, but you have to act on it. And we'll get into that a little bit later. Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God's word actually contains faith. When you hear the word of God, there is an impartation of faith. God and his word are one. The word of God actually contains, is a container of faith. That when we receive the word of God, when we hear the word of God, faith grows. Faith comes in. Faith is imparted. When we read, when we study the word, faith rises up within us. It actually contains the faith of God itself. God's word doesn't contain somebody else's faith. It contains his faith. So when we read the word of God, we gain the faith of God. The faith of God grows within us. it becomes bigger. So it's so important for us to have a good working knowledge of the Word of God, to be able to live by it, to be able to walk by it, to be able to pray by it. Now here Jesus presents a very foundation of faith. And we talked a little bit about this already. Mark 11:22, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Now we know here that the apostles were questioning Jesus about the fig tree that he had cursed the day before and it had withered from the roots up. And they questioned him about it. And then he began to teach them a little bit about faith. And he said to them, have faith in God. Most of our translations will read that way, but some others have faith or take hold of God's faithfulness. Again, Young's literal translation says, have the faith of God. Or you can put it this way, have the God kind of faith. So if we function in faith, it must be by God's faith and God's kind. There's not a different kind of faith that you and I operate and then God operates in another kind of faith. It's not different. It's the same kind. The proportions may be different, and certainly is, but it's not a different kind. It's not something that we're going to work up. I thought I could work it up one time. I mean, I remember when I was learning all about confession and faith and so forth, man, I was into the place where really big on confession, making sure I said, confess the Word of God daily and so forth. And I believe that's important. Now, we'll get into that in a minute. But I could confess till the cow's going home. It's not going to make it happen. Confession will help us to build our faith. That's why I believe if we're going to confess the Word, even about things that we want, it's not important to go around confessing it to everybody else. You're the most important one that's got to hear it. And people get in a lot of foolish situations by confessing the Word to somebody else. I've seen people say some silly things where others will think they're really whacked out because they say things that they don't understand. If I've got a broken leg and this church is full of people and I walk around and, oh, my leg is not broke. My leg is not broke. My leg is not broke. I mean, that's just plain crazy. And people are going to think, well, this guy is just nuts. He won't admit his leg is broke. But I can quite comfortably say, by his stripes, my leg is being healed right now in Jesus' name. Healing belongs to me. My leg is experiencing healing because of what Jesus has paid for me. I'm making that my confession. But, people will say some things right now. I know I've heard testimonies before of people going into the doctor's office and a doctor will say, well, have you got any pain? And God say, no, I have no pain in Jesus' name. And the doctor will point here, oh, pain there. No, I have no pain in Jesus' name. Well, there's people who actually done that type of thing. And of course, the doc thinks, well, you're nuts, and what am I going to do with this person? And so it is so important for us to realize how God's faith works and then work in line with the principles of the way it works. And one of the ways, as we'll get into, is the area of confession. Now, Jennings Dake is a wonderful theologian. He has given a lot of good notes in his Dake's Bible. And he said, literal translation is have the faith of God. Such as possible, or it would not be a command. Man was created with God's faith, but doubt entered in the fall. Faith is restored in the new birth, and if normally exercised and maintained, it will grow to fullness and power. The faith that comes here is from God, and when we think about the fact that you and I have been made in the likeness and image of God, then we should be able to function by the faith of God, because He made us in His image and His likeness. Therefore, the way He functions, He made us to function in the same way, by faith. And as we do that, we please Him. If we are in faith, we're connected to God. If we are in faith, we are receiving the life flow, which includes faith, from God. Just the same way as when God breathed into Adam when he formed the dust of the ground and breathed into him the breath of life, the life flow of God came into Adam and he became a living soul.